Can you have your cake and eat it too? That's what President Biden basically wants, to build a growing economy with a cleaner environment, growth with fewer greenhouse gas emissions. Here's Biden in a speech to Congress on Wednesday.
If we act to save the planet, we can create millions of jobs and economic growth and opportunity to raise the standard of living amongst everyone around the world.
Economic growth and save the planet. Can it be done? Historically, economic expansion has gone hand in hand with more greenhouse gas emissions. Still, others argue that's the past. We can create a new path forward. Clean growth, if you will. Our next guests are on opposite ends of this debate. Zeke Hausfather is a climate scientist at the Breakthrough Institute, an environmental research center in California. Tim Jackson is an ecological economist at the University of Surrey in the UK. Thank you both for being with us to discuss what seems to be a fundamental dilemma about the future. Zeke, let me start with you. How closely linked have GDP and emissions been in the past, and what is the evidence they could be decoupled in the future?
So historically, GDP and economic growth more broadly has gone hand in hand with increasing emissions. And the primary reason for that is because our economic growth has been driven by our consumption of fossil fuels. Now, why I think that they don't necessarily need to go hand in hand in the future, and they're already starting to diverge, is that we've figured out other ways to produce energy. You know, we've really been successful in making clean energy cheap in the last decade or two. And I think we can continue these trends, you know, and ultimately reach net zero emissions while growing our economy in the middle of the century by replacing all of our fossil fuels with clean energy. You know, we recently did an analysis and found that there's now 32 countries in the world that have what we call absolutely decoupled their emissions from economic growth. And that is to say that their economy is growing while their CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions are decreasing. And that's true even when you take CO2 embodied in the trade of goods into account.
Tim Jackson, what do you think? Are economic growth and environmental integrity compatible? And is clean energy, like renewables, the answer?
You know, I agree with Zeke that we have technological possibilities. I think those technologies are moving very fast. They're becoming cheaper. The trouble with the hypothesis is that basically, if you keep growing your economy, you have to keep improving those technologies year on year on year. In other words, you have to keep kind of running faster and faster just to stay in the right place. And really, you know, what the historical evidence shows is that we've not really brought global CO2 emissions down at all, in spite of all those advances in technology. What worries me about it has a danger of being a kind of magical thinking, a wishful thinking. As you say, we can have our cake and eat it.
You know, Tim, when I think about recent statistics reaching Millennium Development Goals and the number of people around the world who've been lifted out of poverty, we have to recognize that economic growth has historically been a way to improve quality of life for people. For growth skeptics like yourself, if I can call you that, how can developing countries lift people out of poverty if you're saying they should not expand their economies in the same way we in the West have?
Developing economies have to expand. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you look at all the evidence around prosperity, what you find is that the biggest gains that you get in terms of the quality of people's lives as income grows is in the poorest countries, in the poorest places. If you've got nothing, then of course you need more food, you need more nutrition, you need decent housing, you need clean energy. That's the priority, it seems to me, to focus on where that poverty lives. And in the richest parts of the world, why are we still chasing growth? You know, there's a fundamental question there. In many cases, it's not actually improving the quality of our lives. We know that it's polluting the environment. And we also know that we're taking up ecological space, if you like, that's desperately needed in the poorest countries in the world.
The pandemic has forced a lot of governments to consider stimulus packages, as we've seen in the U.S. A lot of environmental advocates have been calling on pandemic recovery packages that direct funds to things like renewable energy and electric car infrastructure. So, Zeke, do you see this as an effective way to meet economic growth goals while decarbonizing?
I do. You know, I think ultimately solving climate change is going to involve a lot of very large direct government expenditures, particularly on the infrastructure front. You know, while the private sector has been doing a great job building out lots of wind turbines and solar panels and electric vehicles, what's really missing is the infrastructure that ties all that together. You know, a 21st century electricity grid to be able to send extra renewables in Iowa to Chicago when it's needed, a electric vehicle charging network. The approach the Biden administration is taking, which is very much an industrial policy approach to the energy transition, I think is really the right way to go and can help move the ocean liner of our economy slowly into the right direction toward green growth.
Tim Jackson, do you think these recovery funds should be thought of differently, spent differently?
What I really want to see is a government that fixes its priorities on the social needs of the poorest in society, that builds, if you like, an economy of care. And that economy of care is not necessarily a fast-growing economy. It's not full of, you know, clean, bright, sexy new technologies, but it is a place that looks after the most vulnerable. That should really take priority over growth. We have at most a decade, really, in the rich economies to bring our carbon down to more or less zero. And that's a horrendous task. But it is one that becomes more difficult the more fixated we are on growth. So I want to see us let go of that growth imperative.
Tim Jackson at the University of Surrey in the UK. His new book, Post-Growth, Life After Capitalism, is out this month. Zeke Hausfather is a climate scientist at the Breakthrough Institute in California. Thanks to you both for taking the time to talk about this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Marco. And thanks, Tim.
Cheers.
From PRX.